This podcast is brought to you by iShares, offering exchange-traded funds. Let's build a better investment world. iShares.com/betterworld.
Hi there, and thanks for joining us. I'm Scott Burns, the Director of ETF Analysis with Morningstar, and I'm joined with ETF strategist Paul Justice. Paul, how are you?
I'm great. I'm feeling refreshed. I'm back from the Morningstar Investor Conference.
Well, that's great. Well, you know, for this quarter, for our ETF quarterly update, you know, I thought we'd spend some time and talk a little bit about what we learned at that conference, and also, you know, what folks can do, you know, with what they're sitting at, looking at their portfolios. I think the first thing we should talk about is for people who are sitting on cash, because when we look at the data out there, we can see money market funds are swollen. We can see that the treasury market, although it's coming off, was swollen. So obviously investors have a lot of cash and they're looking to deploy it. You know, what are some of the themes that we got from the conference and themes in general?
Sure. No, it's such a great experience to sit there and listen to these, you know, famous money managers who are dealing with the same problems that a lot of the advisors and individual investors that we all know are dealing with as well. Maybe you were lucky enough to go to a large cash overweight at the fall of the market last year, but what helped you last year is hurting you now. The cash drag is very real. So if you didn't pump all that money back in on March 9th, you know, you might feel a bit ashamed. You're getting left behind at this point. It's a real challenge. And of course, it's universally shared. My recommendation and following what everybody else has done, because it's a problem that we have as well. We are large cash overweight.
Right. In our hands-on portfolio.
In the
Morningstar ETF Investor newsletter, we run a tactical hands-on portfolio.
Right. And you can give in to the fear and sit on that cash position for a long time. But those lost opportunities are going to be a drag as well. Most of us need to be invested over a long period of time to make real returns down the road. And one of the ideas that I think really resonated for a good approach of getting back into the market is Jeremy Grantham was really championing. You go ahead and start putting some money in now, maybe on a monthly basis. You don't have to go all in at one point in time.
Right.
Start dripping that money in, though, and over the course of a year, getting all the way back up to your allocation.
Right.
Now, we've been a bit more aggressive than that, than what he's suggesting, but we've also found areas that we like.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that's important.
Well, I know we've been active in the portfolio, and you run the hands-on portfolio for us. You know, one of the big themes when we first started buying back in March was quality.
Right.
So let's talk quality.
You know, it was a very philosophical question when the markets were cratering. It wasn't what do I buy? It's do I want to be buying? And at that point in time, it was no, I don't want to be buying. I want to run for the hills or what, you know, whatever it is. And you know, we did pull back, but we've answered that question again. Do we want to be buying? Yes, we do. And it's not like I'm going in and saying that you know, retail is going to outperform industrials or something like that. We answered the very basic question. We want back in, and we ran screens to say
why. You know, why when we look at these sectors, you know, what was it that we weren't seeing? You know, I mean,
we just didn't see a great deal of differentiation between the sectors. There's still a great deal of uncertainty out there. You don't know which sectors are going to really outperform for a long period of time. But once we answered the very basic question, do we want back in? We went in and we went with quality. And this theme of quality, it's a fleeting idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it companies with strong balance sheets, great growth prospects, or Morningstar's own terminology, wide economic moats? And I think it's all of those things in concert with each other.
Right.
So we're not identifying just small caps or just large caps or just growth or just value. We're looking at quality right now.
Well, and so what did we do to really isolate that? I mean, we actually ran a pretty simple screen that I think generated a pretty powerful result.
Simple but rigorous. We looked at companies who have strong balance sheets. So we're not looking at a lot of debt on there. We're looking at companies that have consistently not only paid dividends for a long period of time, but actually grew those dividends over the last 10 years. Companies that have strong earnings power, even in this environment.
Well, an ETF of those companies.
An ETF that really captured all of those qualities in one fund. And we had one that really stood out above the rest.
Right.
We really
Which
loved,
one was that?
That was the Vanguard Dividend Appreciation Fund. And the ticker on that is VIG. And this is obviously Vanguard is the sponsor of this in conjunction with a company called Mergent to build several screens. And we had an interesting visit. I went out to Valley Forge a few months ago, where Vanguard is headquartered, and and spoke with their investment guru, Gus Sauter. And he made a very, I think, a bold statement that he felt very comfortable in making, in saying that this fund would be the best performing fund likely over the next decade.
Well, that's a pretty bold statement.
It's a very bold statement. And he quickly revised it and said, you know what, I think I'm wrong on that. I make that the next century.
Right.
So, you know, it.
Well,
of course,
anybody who knows Gus Sauter from Vanguard knows he's not mm-hmm. shy about making these kinds of predictions by any means. Mm-hmm. But I do think the theme's there. And anybody, you know, with cash to kind of sum up what you were talking about a little bit, and we discussed this a lot, is, you know, the first decision is, do I want to invest? And mm-hmm. I think, you know, we see the economic risk is, or the financial risk is lessening, but it's not gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of described as the clouds are thinning, but it's still overcast.
And the important part is you need risk to generate returns.
Right.
Without any risk, there won't be returns. You'll get the risk-free rate just like treasuries.
Right.
We saw that in the bubbles. You don't want to be buying when prices are really high and everyone feels comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
If everybody's whistling to the bank, there's a problem. And I think it's important that you need to have the discipline and the courage to get in this market when fear is at its highest.
Right. So when we talk about treasuries, I think that actually leads into another interesting thing that we've been looking at, and that's been corporate credit spreads vis-a-vis treasuries.
Mm.
You know, what is it that we saw and we looked at and, you know, we actually acted upon too?
Mm-hmm. Now, the great part about this market, you know, even though uncertainty was high, it brought about some anomalies that hadn't shown themselves in several decades. And I think one of the most pronounced was the wide spread we saw between treasury bonds and corporate bonds. Even Warren Buffett at his annual shareholder meeting was talking about that the housing bubble is great, but the mm-hmm. bubble that exists today in treasuries may even, you know, go down in history as even larger.
Right.
And it's just a reflection of this, you know, incredible flight to quality that we saw when people exited the markets to really drive down these treasury yields and in spite of all the things that the government is mm-hmm. doing to make sure that treasuries are going to be worthless in the future. But the corporate bonds were inherently risky, and the market felt that
I mean,
what are we
talking about? Yeah, I mean, that magnified risk on a scale. It's mm-hmm. what is the relative differential
sure.
we're looking at?
We're talking about investment grade corporate bonds, which, you know, if you saw 150, you know, 1.5% to 2% spread between, you know, investment grade corporate bonds and treasury bonds, there was typically an opportunity in the corporate bond space that you could get a decent return on that. And we saw that spread blow out. You were
right.
getting close to 5%, you know, as recently as March. And if you think about it in context, what's going to impact most treasury bonds versus most corporate bonds at a longer duration, we're talking about 20-year maturities,
right.
Most of the factors are shared. The one difference is the one you've got the risk-free supporter in the government versus the, you know, very strong corporate backing in the
mm-hmm.
corporate bonds. And we believe that over time that's going to normalize, and especially if you can invest into the long corporate bonds and get the short side with the treasuries.
Well, so let's talk about, mm-hmm. so that shared risk, I think that shared risk, it's important to talk about, it's inflation.
Yeah.
Right. And so
inflation's
a real concern, and we've actually seen treasuries kick up quite a bit,
mm-hmm.
some due to the dollar decreasing, which is also inflationary in its own right.
Right.
So when we talk about this, you know, even if you go long corporate bonds, you still have an inflation risk, and there is a real risk there that the credit spreads will normalize.
Mm-hmm.
But inflation will chew it all away anyway, and your 7% yield, even though it's a very wide spread, even though it's a 400 basis point spread, 7% when there's 6% inflation isn't going to help you very much.
No. And you could probably do pretty well if you just bought corporate bonds on your own. But like you said, we have a fear of inflation. We don't think it's going to pop up this month or next month. It might not be this year or next year. But down the road, it could be very real. It could be very large, and
mm-hmm.
that can eat away at returns. It's going to steal from all investors.
Right. So we actually did a trade where we went long corporate bonds. We bought
mm-hmm. We bought the State Street Corporate Treasury Bond, the 20-year plus, which is under the ticker of LWC.
Right.
And that's how we gained our long-term corporate bond exposure.
And that fund, I think what's unique about that fund is it's investment-grade corporate bond. It's the longest duration corporate bond out there. But it's actually not just corporate bond. It's just investment grade.
Mm-hmm.
So it includes issues like Brazil and other groups like that. And then what we did on the flip side was short.
Mm-hmm.
Some pieces out there. We shorted the treasuries.
Yeah, and we matched up our duration. We shorted treasuries of various lengths. We used two different short treasury ETFs to gain that exposure. And I don't think it's important to really highlight exactly the vehicles we used in the trade, just the concept that these are the ideas that are present today,
mm-hmm.
that you can go out there and get real returns with equities. You can get real returns with bonds. But the key is, don't sit still. There's plenty of ideas. If your basic question you need to answer is get back in the market, then get back in the market with quality equity. Get that money invested. Don't sit on cash forever.
All right. Well, I think that's a theme that anybody should resonate out there. I mean, there's no reward without a little bit of risk, and there's a lot of opportunity out there. We're looking at quality. We're looking at playing some credit spreads collapsing. Again, Paul, thanks for being with me. And I'm Scott Burns, Director of ETF Analysis with Morningstar. Thanks for joining us.
This podcast is brought to you by iShares, offering exchange-traded funds. Let's build a better investment world. iShares.com/betterworld.